From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Yes, it is Christmas Day, and I hope you are having a blessed day. Let me just share with you a passage of Scripture as we get started. And let me forewarn you, today's program is not going to be like the normal Washington Watch. It's Christmas Day. We're going to step back here for a moment, and I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. But first, let me just share a passage of Scripture. Isaiah, as he was prophesying the birth of the Savior. Over in Isaiah chapter 9, he said in verse 2, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." And then down in verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of that prophecy. This passage speaks of a star that broke into the darkness, speaks of a Savior, but it also speaks to the coming King of Kings, the Sovereign One who will reign over all. And today we step back. Obviously, we focus on government a lot, policy, the culture, but it's Christmas Day. And so something similar, we did this on Thanksgiving Day. Harold Harper, who's the Senior Vice President here, Chief of Staff, a Pastoral Counselor, just a great team member here. He's actually going to join me in studio. Harold, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me. Great opportunity.
And then I have another guest who is with us in studio today, who I happen to know quite well. Been on the program only once before, and it's been, I have to go back into the archives quite a ways, and that is my wife, Luana Perkins. Luana, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Short on words. Harold, we talked about this, and we're just going to kind of take a step back and maybe even reverse roles a little bit. I'm going to let you take over the microphone, and we're just going to have a kind of a conversation so people can kind of look behind the scenes as to what really makes FRC work. You know, we've got a team here of almost 100 dedicated, committed individuals. People just kind of hear my voice, every weekday afternoon talking about issues, interviewing policymakers. But there's so much more to the Family Research Council and what makes us tick.
Yes, and I want to just thank you both for allowing me and I guess our listeners into your home, into your world on Christmas Day. This has always been a special time of the year, I know, for you, Tony. I assume that's true for you as well, Luana. You go in Tony's office here at FRC this time of the year, and there's Christmas music playing in the background. I think it's a special time of the year for many, especially as a follower of Christ. But what's unique about it for you? Because there's just a joy about you this time of the year. It starts early in December, and you start using the word Merry Christmas, and this is one of your favorite times of the year.
It is. It actually starts Thanksgiving. I always look forward to Thanksgiving because actually for me that's the most the best holiday for me because it's not commercialized. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you consider buying turkeys, and we don't usually buy turkeys. We have ham. But anyway, it's a time with family, and the older I get, the more I just enjoy conversations and having good food. My wife's a great cook, and so I love to eat her cooking, and I just like to sit around and talk and enjoy the company of everybody. But for us as a family, and I'll let Luana jump on this, it kind of starts the process. We watch Christmas movies from Thanksgiving up until Christmas. On Friday nights is our pizza night, our movie night. We've been doing that for almost 33 years. We'll be married 33 years in March, and Friday night has been one of those, may sound weird, but an anchor point in our life, as unpredictable as our life is, and who knows where you might be. a pizza and a movie on Friday night. And so Friday night between Thanksgiving and Christmas includes the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Okay.
Pretty deep stuff. And It's a Wonderful Life. We watch that one every year. It's just a Jimmy Stewart, just a great, great message and a reminder of, you know, how God's positioned us and just in as we live out our lives, how we make a difference. And so those are some of the things we do, and we make pralines every year, although the kids have taken that over for me. It's just a nice time.
What's special about family movie night, and do you do any different types of pizza during the Christmas season?
Well, particularly during Christmas, you know, our movies are different, of course.
Right.
You know, they're all centered around Christmas. But no, the pizza still remains the same.
Sometimes we're a little busy, and so we actually have to order a pizza. I prefer Luana's pizza.
Oh, that's good. Homemade pizza?
Yes, we have homemade pizza. I prefer that. It's actually healthier.
We do make our own pizza. It's a 3-hour process. So, sometimes it gets a little rushed. But no, we enjoy pizza night. And I believe our family's favorite movie is Muppet Christmas Carol.
Okay. Well, the fact that you make your own pizza gives insight, because that's a long process, and I assume that's a family event, right? At least with the girls, perhaps.
I usually like it to be a family event.
That's the plan.
Everyone loves to cook. My girls really love to cook, and my second daughter loves to experiment with pizza.
Sometimes a little too much.
But our standard is pepperoni and cheese.
Okay. But it's the Friday night, going beyond Christmas discussion, your Friday night for us has always been one of those connection points as a family. Is no matter, you know, we've had I probably describe it as a different life in terms of the positions I've held, the places I've had to be, and just all the things going on, and we're able to connect on Friday night. So we literally structure our schedules generally around Friday nights and Sunday afternoons, which is our family discipleship time. So those two things are kind of the anchor points for us, and it takes on special meaning at Christmas.
What about Christmas Eve, Christmas Day? If we were able to just invite some of our listeners, our longtime listeners, to spend Christmas Eve, Christmas Day with the Perkins, what would that look like if they came in and you just had a group of intercessors at your house? And so I know you have people over from time to time. You know, our normal family. What would it look like if our listeners were, or if they even peered in, on camera and watched the Perkins Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? There's extended family involved,
right.
I believe.
Right. Christmas Eve has it's been quite some time. We go to my parents' home and my siblings. We gather, and it's a festive occasion. We play games. We just have a lot of fun, and so there's a lot of laughing. As we get older, not so much of the eating of the cookies and sweets. We try to push away from those, although those is always a highlight. I kind of let myself go at that time of year and eat more cookies and sweets. But it's just a lot of fun. I have a lot of games, and just a lot of laughter and reminiscing, and occasionally breaking out the old home movies and watching the Christmases past.
What about Christmas story? I assume there's a spiritual element either on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve.
Well, that is one thing that my father on Christmas Eve always reads the Christmas story to all the kids and all the grandkids. Of course, they've now. Most of them have grown up, but they're all still there. But he still reads the Christmas story, and then we do is on Sunday on Christmas morning. Traditionally, it's been for us. We have breakfast, and then we read the Christmas story, and then we exchange presents, and it's one of those days where we try not to be rushed,
right.
Even though we've got family to visit, but we try to carve out enough time to where we just enjoy the day and seize the moment.
Okay. For Luana, I got just a question with, because I've heard numerous times how awesome you are as a cook, And so you've already testified that your girls like to cook and or experiment some. So around Christmas time, is there anything unique about that time where you're all cooking together and there's a bonding time that you've had with the girls? And I assume with that, as you're thinking about favorite recipes or whatever, I also think there's some probably significant conversations that happen just out of the normalness of life where you're just sort of getting this truth in and getting that truth in, like many moms.
Well, one of our favorite dishes to cook at Christmas, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, is sweet potato crunch.
My favorite.
And our third daughter, Grace, that has become her specialty, along with sweet potato pie. And but I think what we all do together is cook pralines.
Okay.
And we all enjoy that, whether they're stirring the pot or mixing the ingredients or actually putting them out.
Or licking the pot.
Or licking the pot, that's true. That's something that we always look forward to, is making pralines together. And we do. I wouldn't say that we have more significant conversations while we're cooking together. It's just part of what we do. We do homeschool, and I think just I'm around the kids so much that we have conversations all the time. And although I'm not homeschooling three of them because they're grown, they still come and they tell me about work. They tell me about school. They tell me about friends. And it's just that's been part of our life. Mm-hmm. And so I enjoy being able to talk with my kids and listen and be able to share experiences that I've had throughout life with them. And they listen.
Yeah. I love the fact that you're doing life with them in the sense of, and I know y'all have some structured things that Tony's talked about before in the Thanksgiving program of how y'all read through the Bible, and there is a discipline element of it. But what you're mentioning right there is just a mom listening with a very intensive ear and then pointing them back to the biblical truths that have been really the foundation of y'all's family. It's amazing. If our listeners could see just the pace in which the family runs and how much Tony's traveling, really there's been a glue, a foundation that was laid down early on in your marriage that's been the success of it all staying together. Can you comment on that?
Well, we're a unique partnership. Her strengths are right where my weaknesses are. I mean, I'm a very structured person and things got to fit in place. Where she's more flexible, easygoing, can have those conversations. You know, I tend to, it's got to be on my schedule. But it's, the Lord has been the center. Now, I will say, and we can talk about it, it's not always been perfect.
Right.
First few years were rough, but, you know, I honestly cannot remember the last time we had an argument. I mean, it's been... In fact, I think only one of our children have probably ever seen us at an argument.
Wow.
It's been a long time. Because I just say, yes, ma'am.
That's not true.
Hey, we're up against the break. Sorry, we got a break. Hey, folks, you're listening to a special Christmas edition of Washington Watch. Harold Harper, Executive Vice President here, is sitting in, Senior Vice President, and my wife, Luana, and myself. We're back after this break. I hope you'll stick around for more of this special Christmas Day edition.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Together, we will work to ensure religious liberty for all Americans is upheld, unborn babies in the womb are protected, and biblical values are honored in our country. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled by a generous challenge match. Any donation is tax deductible. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018 to donate. Again, that number is 1-800-225-4008 and frc.org/2018. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
We are inviting you to join other like-minded people and become a Stan member. We want to build stronger relationships with listeners like you and provide resources to strengthen your faith and equip you to stand for the values that matter to you of life, marriage, and religious freedom. By joining this growing network of engaged believers, you'll receive a copy of Tony Perkins' book, No Fear, detailing courageous Christians standing for truth. And for a limited time this month, we will also send you a copy of Pastor Carter Conlon's book, It's Time to Pray, that illustrates how God's power can change everything. Take action today and become an FRC Stan member for $17 a month. That's just 56 cents a day. To join, call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stan. That's 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stan. Thank you for partnering with us. The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Welcome back to Washington Watch and Merry Christmas. I hope you are enjoying this day. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. This is not the normal Washington Watch. We're not talking about policy today, not talking about government, not talking about Washington, D.C. Actually, stepping back just a bit, kind of give you a look behind the scenes at the Family Research Council and what makes it tick. Harold Harper, Senior Vice President here, Chief of Staff, in the studio once again, kind of reversing roles. He's doing a little interviewing of myself and my wife, Luana, who's in the studio with me. And I forget where we left off.
Well, I'll pick up with a new question. We've talked about the length of your marriage. Y'all have been married over 30 years. But Luana, you've been the wife of a Marine, a police officer, a TV reporter, a pastor, obviously a radio host, and a major leader here in our nation's capital. And y'all been through,
hopes I get a real job one day.
Y'all come a long way since that. Last night at dinner, we were talking about that first date on the bicycle built for two, which some of our listeners have heard that story. But, I know there's no way, Luana, you could have imagined. There's just no way when you had that first date or when you got married or that you could possibly know what was coming and all the different roles that God was going to take your husband and then having to serve in different roles yourself as a pastor's wife. And then I think one of the greatest titles, as I know that you've had, is just mom and homeschool mom, a teacher to your children. So I guess I just broadly speaking, when you look at that, and I painted a picture for our listeners just to kind of give an idea of what it might look like to be in your shoes, what have been the life principles that you would say are the main building blocks in your marriage and in the foundation of your family? And you both admit it, you know, it hasn't been easy. There have been some hard times in those first years. Y'all were building that foundation and working that out. But now that foundation is laid, and it's pretty smooth at this point. Not that you have life without bumps in the road, but you've got a working plan that works well for you guys as a family. Can you speak to that?
Well, number one, Jesus is the center of both of our lives, mm-hmm. and so without Him,
right.
and without our reliance and trust on Him, I think things would be very difficult.
Right.
But, you know, that's our foundation.
Can I add something here?
Sure, sure.
In our early years, the problems were more with me. And one of the things that she did to speak to that issue of Jesus being at the center of our relationship is that instead of her trying to change me, she knew that I would listen to God.
Right.
And so she spoke to him and let him talk to me. So. And it probably took a little bit longer, but the results were much more lasting, and it instead of creating tension, it diffused tension between us.
Okay, well, let's just talk about that in itself. Maybe the prayer life element of that, because we know as followers of Christ that's important. We've been taught since we were little about prayer, but the practical, I mean, the day to day, what does that look like? And when you're praying for your husband, like he just confessed, you know, what does that look like?
Well, I think we had been married about 3 years, and I realized what I was telling him it was coming off as nagging. And the Lord just told me, you just need to pray. And so I think I stopped fussing and just started praying. And I knew that the Lord would change him, you know, or change the situation, not just him, but me too,
right?
Because it may have been my attitude. And so when I started praying, seriously praying, you know, that's when I started seeing changes. And so I'm glad that happened early on in our marriage,
right?
Because even today, there might be something that's bothering me, but I don't go to my friends. I don't go to Facebook or, you know, anything like that. I go to God. Lord, show me.
Right.
You know, this is bothering me. Is this, you know, is there something that needs to change with Tony, needs to change with me? Lord, you work that situation out. And I say I'm amazed, but I shouldn't be amazed,
right?
Because God has been faithful to do that every time, whether it's with our marriage, with the kids, and I would say especially with our marriage. I'll pray and pray before I ever say anything. I think too often we speak our minds,
right?
But we need to pray first and let the Lord tell us when the right time is to speak.
There's something just very quickly that's important about that she and I have. I don't know that it was ever initially an agreement, but it's evolved into that. Neither one of us speak ill of the other to anyone. So I challenge any friend that I have that has ever heard anything, me say anything negative about my wife. I haven't, because I refuse to speak that, because the spoken word is so powerful.
Right.
And she understands that. So
that's a foundational principle that you both have in your marriage, and that's worked well for you all. I love what you're saying about prayer, because the truth is God knows Tony better than he knows himself. God knows you. Sometimes we don't know our motives. We don't know what's really going on. God's examined. We invite him to examine and call us out. Show us, Lord. Reveal it to us. And then when he's doing the revealing, that makes it a lot easier. It's still painful. But that's where you can confess, and then you just watch and wait, trust that he's going to bring an open door.
And he does. He does. It's been it's safe to say that you asked this question earlier. When we were our first year of marriage, if she would have never thought that we would be sitting where we are today, me being a spokesman for marriage and family. She would have thought you were from outer space if you even suggested the idea. All right, folks, you're listening to Washington Watch. Harold Harper and my lovely wife, Luana, along with me. We come back after the break. I hope you'll stick with us as we just have a Christmas conversation here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Don't go away. We're right back after this message.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Together, we will work to ensure religious liberty for all Americans is upheld, unborn babies in the womb are protected, and biblical values are honored in our country. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled by a generous challenge match. Any donation is tax deductible. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018 to donate. Again, that number is 1-800-225-4008 and frc.org/2018. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Merry Christmas and welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, joined in the studio today with Harold Harper, Senior Vice President here and Chief of Staff, along with my wife, Luana, and just kind of having a, as I said earlier, Christmas conversation.
Well, thank you for inviting our listeners into your home and into your heart this time of year. I think it's very encouraging to hear just kind of how y'all have done life. Just thinking back a couple of years, God has brought y'all through some significant challenges. And so we're looking back in the rearview mirror. 2 years ago, you found yourself with a little different Christmas because you were four months before that, I guess it was, your house flooded. Y'all lost everything in that significant flood in Louisiana with a lot of other families. But can you walk our listeners through, for those who haven't been through that, that experience for y'all, not just as a couple, but as an entire family, just put us, help us understand kind of what that was like to go through that. Because a lot of families probably didn't survive, not just physically, but emotionally. It's a difficult thing that you went through. Yet, for y'all to talk about it now, you just kind of say, well, we just got through it. So can you walk us through it, if you will?
Well, the one thing that sticks out for me is when we were literally making our way out in two small boats, a canoe and a bateau, and Luana turned around as I was in the back with the paddle. She goes, this is the kind of stuff you see on TV that happens to other people.
Yeah.
And, you know, from that point, it was we look back on it and we see the faithfulness of God, even that we had a place to stay that night.
Mm-hmm.
It was an adventure. You know, for 11 months, we lived in an RV. So that Christmas was kind of different.
Yeah.
But I think the first 24, 36 hours were challenging. We just tried to wrap our minds around what was happening. But I think it's the way we're geared. We don't really... We're not people that kind of sit and overthink things. We just do. And so, you know, 24, 36 hours into this, I said, we just need a plan. And so to add to it, at the time, I was actually pastoring a church.
So you'll have that other responsibility, a pastor, a pastor's wife. You had other families, too, that you respond, not just your own, but you had other families that you needed to
shepherd. She took, and this is what this, but this is kind of the role she's, Luana has played, is that after I got the plan in place, she took over our home We had friends that came in to help do things. And so she oversaw all of that while I went to the church, which had been flooded, and began to organize what ended up being a community relief effort.
Mm-hmm. And you're taking charge on the home front, but your children are unique too. They all step up in their own way, and you know that because you spend so much time with them as a homeschool mom. You've got a plan, but you're pretty much organizing them in their strengths. Can you talk a little bit about how did you manage the family through that?
Well, like Tony said, we don't dwell on. I won't say we don't think about, but we don't dwell on all the negatives. I'm not a hysterical personality, and I would say not over-emotional, more analytical.
Mm-hmm.
And he did come up with the plan. I wasn't quite sure what to do, but still had a peace knowing what God has done for us in the past and that we would be okay. And my children, too, I think our children take our cues,
right.
take their cues from us. And Tony wasn't hysterical and I wasn't hysterical. And so our children were at peace.
Mm-hmm.
Now, still, I've gone to them several times since then. Are you still okay? And my kids are the same way. It's like, well, of course we are. Everything's okay.
Well, we did have there was a point in there in the first couple of weeks because everything was upside down.
Right.
I mean, we didn't know. We had a plan, but then we had to go to plan C because we found out the place where we were staying was actually flooded too. So we lost where we were staying there. It's a backup. And so it became a little unsettling for the kids, and we just had to talk, not all of them, but a couple of them, and we had to talk them through that. But then, you know, they've gone with the flow, and it's I think we focus more on getting things done. I think this is one of the key things is just having a plan, working it, but then also helping other people. All the family was working to distribute food to others and help other people.
Now, that doesn't mean that we didn't cry.
Right.
I mean, you know, there was sadness there, of course, and just and all of us,
right.
all of us cried.
Grief.
But, yes, but we didn't stay there.
Mm-hmm.
In many ways, there wasn't time to stay there. There, like Tony said, there were so many other people that, I mean, they lost everything. And so.
Well, y'all lost everything too, right?
Well, we kept most of our clothes. It didn't get high enough to take our clothes.
Okay. And some of our wooden furniture. I'm surprised.
And all our pictures.
All our pictures, yes.
We saved those.
Okay.
But some people lost it all. And, I mean, they lost everything. And so, you know, we try to focus on more how we're blessed. And
it was a great opportunity to serve.
Yes, yes. And our kids have always enjoyed serving because this wasn't the first time for us to serve. We serve at a homeless shelter. That's just what we do as a family.
All right, hold that thought because we're up against a break. All right, folks, you're listening to Washington Watch. My wife, Luana, joins me along with Harold Harper. We return after this break as we conclude our Christmas conversation here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're back right after this.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom. Together, we will work to protect life, marriage, and religious liberty in our country. If you give before December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
Don't miss your opportunity to join other like-minded people and become an FRC Stand member. Join today and you'll receive empowering resources like Tony Perkins' book, No Fear, and for a limited time, Pastor Carter Conlon's book, It's Time to Pray. So become an FRC Stand member for $17 a month. That's just 56 cents a day. To join, call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stand. Thank you for partnering with us for the sake of America.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
Merry Christmas. You're listening to Washington Watch. You know, there's a reason it looks like Christmas. It is. It's Christmas. Christmas Day. Merry Christmas. Listening to a special edition of Washington Watch as we step back and just have a candid Christmas conversation. Harold Harper, Senior Vice President here, Chief of Staff, and my wife, Luana, joins me in studio.
Before the break, we were talking about the fact that 2 years ago, your Christmas changed quite a bit because you had gone through the tremendous flood in Louisiana, and we were talking about how the family kind of rallied there probably 36, 48 hours later. You were very candid about the fact that there was grief, there were tears, there was loss. But then something kicks in along the way in the Perkins home, and you see all the needs out there. Matter of fact, one of the stories that just came to my mind was Tony was telling me that y'all couldn't find your son David, and come to find out he is out in a boat and he was helping people. So service just kind of comes natural. So talk to us a little bit about that piece of it with your family and how it's a joy to watch your family serve.
You know, we've just grown up. The kids have just grown up doing that. We started serving at a homeless shelter when our oldest was about three. And so it's just what they do. And it's just what we've taught them to do. And there's a scripture, I can't remember exactly all of it. It says to not look out for your own interests, but also for the interest of others. It's a great Awana verse, and all my children have gone through Awana, so they've learned that verse and a number of other ones. But they all like to serve.
That's good.
And they were serving at our church, helping others after the flood.
David, our oldest, was actually on staff at the church at that time, and so he was working.
Yes.
There, and literally for a few weeks, I was grateful that FRC gave me a little grace there,
right.
and we literally worked around the clock, even sleeping there at the church on occasion to meet those needs. It was a remarkable time too, because in that process, working with Samaritan's Purse, actually Samaritan's Purse was the first person I called when we were displaced on that next morning. when I realized how serious the flooding was. And within 2 days, Samaritan's Purse and Billy Graham Evangelistic Association was on our church property, operating out of there. And through that period, I mean, we saw hundreds of people that came to Christ as a result of those ministry initiatives by Samaritan's Purse, Billy Graham, and our own church. Our own church, we served over 50,000 hot meals. I mean, we literally served for 6 months. Mm-hmm. And it was a remarkable time.
Talk to us about that, though. Here you are, just to remind some of our listeners that may not know, we probably have some new listeners listening today because it's Christmas and you're on the road headed to family or headed home. Tony served here at the Family Research Council for 15 years now, but also serving as a pastor of a local church was a season for you all, and Luana was a pastor's wife. So this happens in your family 48 hours later or so. Y'all are up at the church, and you've, Tony, and your gifts that God has given you as a leader, you have organized the entire community outreach of your church, and it became just the headquarters. I remember our church delivered a whole truckload of stuff, and I was just amazed at how, of course, everything was organized, and the trucks were there, and all the equipment, and the crews were coming and going. Talk to us a little bit about, as y'all testified, your family does serve, but this was right in action, and you've testified numerous times about what that does for you personally, that when you're serving and you're the hands and feet of Jesus, and you not only you do that, it just comes naturally. I assume that there was part of maybe in your upbringing where you learned that, and now you're passing that on to your children. But talk to us about how that impacts a community.
Well, first, I think it begins obviously with that relationship with the Lord, but it's with an understanding and recognition of our giftings and our callings. And it took me a long time to realize that God does gift us a certain way, and that we should operate within those giftings, and not say, well, somebody else would do that. I know I'm gifted that, but somebody else wants to do that. And I mean, God has gifted us. We should step in. I don't know that I've said this publicly, but a couple of weeks before the flood, Law and I were having this conversation, because going back to when I was a police officer, and even when I was a kid, my dad was a volunteer fireman.
Yeah.
And so our family, and my dad was a lineman for electric company. And so I grew up when a storm came, when something sure. happened, my dad left because he had to go to where the need was. Like, it was tornadoes came through mm-hmm. and tore down power lines, storms came through. He was gone. Maybe he'd be gone for 3 or 4 days working around the clock to restore the electricity for mm-hmm. other people. And so as he was volunteer fireman, something happened. We used to have this old, they called a plectron, I think is what it was called. It was back before radios, and it just sent out a signal, and it was set on our refrigerator. And when that went off, he ran to his car.
Wow.
And so it was kind of how we grew up. And then I was a police officer, and as a Marine, you go to where the problems are. So it's just kind of the way we're geared. And so I was telling Luana a couple of weeks before the flood, I said, I just sometimes feel like I'm not operating where I need to be. I need to be where there is – I just operate best when there's a crisis. Hmm. It's just the way the Lord has gifted me. And then all of a sudden, that wasn't what I was asking for, but a flood came.
Yeah.
And so, I was moving within the gifting, but the opportunity to minister and serve and come alongside other people who – don't necessarily have the same orientation, and their lives are turned upside down by all of this. And so it's one of those times where if we're prepared, and this is where I think the church needs to be, okay? Mm-hmm. So this is not just about talking about the Perkins family. It's talking about where I think the church needs to be. If we've got a plan and we've got our orientation, when these crises comes, the opportunity to minister is magnified in such a way that we can do more in such a short period of time mm-hmm. than what we could do in years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, an event like this is transformative.
Yeah,
you can
for the whole community.
Exactly. You can transform a community, a church as well, You know, for those pastors that are listening, thinking, you know, how am I ever going to change this church? When something happens and you engage your church, you mm-hmm. can change the character of your church in a few short months, mm-hmm. where it could take you years to do under different circumstances.
Mm-hmm. And we see that in the scripture where the events happen, the people responded, there was a spiritual marker, there's a lesson
right.
learned. You're talking about giftings. You've seen that in your children. So, Luana, I want to ask you particularly, how have you seen God in the shaping of your children? Now that you've got some older children, you still have the young one at 10, but even at 10, you see those gifts. You're starting to see. You kind of know. You're kind of watching in awe of the gifts that your youngest has. But particularly, it was a year ago, I think it was. Y'all had a great Christmas. You've gotten through the flood. This is your second Christmas after the flood. You celebrate Christmas, and a month later, your oldest son is on his way, or coming back, I think, from breakfast with Tony. And I think a lady had a flat tire. He stops to change a tire, and an accident happens. Can you take it from there and just kind of speak to that in the sense of the giftings that you see in even why he stopped?
Well, David was changing a tire, and the jack slipped. The wind was blowing pretty hard, and the jack slipped out from under the car, and his arm was pinned between the fender and the tire and broke both of the bones in his arm. And but he saw the need. There was someone there that needed a tire change, so he stopped to help. And that's what he does. He loves to serve. And
a lot of 19-year-olds would not have stopped. A lot of adults wouldn't have stopped.
And so after that happened, he would say, I'm not ever stopping again. But do you know, it's like he is a magnet for people with flat tires. And he can't not stop, you know. And so, in fact, he was at youth camp as a youth counselor. And someone took a picture and showed me. There he was, changing someone else's tire. And but, you know, he jokingly said he wouldn't do it again. But he will, and mm-hmm. he does. He's probably changed four tires since that accident.
Right.
All my kids love to serve.
And you see God, how God has shaped each one. They're all different. I'm amazed at how my three are just completely different. But you see right. the shape of the hand of God, the fingerprints of God, I think, as I've heard said,
right.
on your kids. Can you talk about just how they're all different? And you have to parent them all differently, correct?
That is so true. Our oldest, she's very thoughtful. And one thing she does, she prays before she does anything. She sat out of college for a semester and just prayed, Lord, what do you want me to do? Hmm. And he directed her into nursing. And I said, are you sure? And she said, Mama, I wouldn't have chose this. It has to be God. And she's a nurse today.
Amen.
And she's very thoughtful.
Another serving profession, nursing.
Yes. And then
an ER nurse.
Yes. Yeah. And then our second daughter, Rachel, is still in college, but she's a very deep thinker. And both her and my oldest, I'm amazed at what they get out of Scripture when we have our Sunday discussions. Mm-hmm. I'm a more literal person, and they have such a deep understanding of Scripture. And but Rachel is very analytical as mm-hmm. well, and she's considering being an attorney.
Okay.
But she not an attorney like we would think of a lawyer. As a lawyer, she wants to be in a more serving position, not so that she can make a lot of money, but so that she can help mm-hmm. others.
Sure.
And then David, he is looking to be a youth minister.
Right. He's the tire changer.
Yes,
David.
He's the tire changer. David, like I said, he loves to serve. He commits. If somebody asks him to do something, he says yes. he's overcommitted sometimes. But, again, that's just where his heart is to help. And he his like at church, he is a media assistant. But he does all kinds of projects. Mm-hmm. He builds things. He paints. You name it. If somebody asks him to do it, he will do it.
Mm.
And then there's Grace. And Grace is my baby girl. She's not the youngest, but she's our baby girl. And she is just a happy-go-lucky young lady.
Yeah.
And she's she enjoys life. And still waiting to see what God's going to do in her life. She's only 17. And then Samuel. Samuel is, he's a character. He has all kinds of abilities, acting abilities. He wants to be a designer of buildings.
I wouldn't be surprised before long he's hosting this radio program.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
The point, I think, is that Jeremiah 1, God has a plan and purpose, and you start to see those early on. And right now, Samuel, the cement's still wet. This guy's developing him. But, you know that God has a plan. You can see it in them.
Yes.
And
well, even how we named him,
yeah.
The Lord gave us his name.
Yes.
Yeah.
Independently in prayer, the Lord told me his name was – we didn't even know if it was going to be a boy. We
right.
had not had gotten that far in the pregnancy, and the Lord told me in prayer. And I'm not one of those people that the Lord speaks a lot from that standpoint, but the Holy Spirit impressed upon me his name was to be Samuel. And – I waited a couple of days because that's kind of, that's kind of stepping. I don't presume to speak, for the Lord when he says something like it, but I said something to Lauren. She goes, well, that's same thing.
I had been reading a book on mothers of men of the Bible, and I was reading about Samuel, about Hannah in particular, and the Lord told me his name is Samuel. And the same day he told me his name is Samuel, and again, that was before we knew that he was a boy, told a friend of mine who was at another church, said his name is Samuel. And so it's just confirmation.
Amen.
It means God hears.
I love how that goes. Before we go, we're almost out of time, I hear. There have been a couple of times when, and I've had the privilege of praying with you guys on this, where a significant opportunity comes before Tony, and he's calling the family to prayer, as to whether to take this trip or go on this international trip or take on this project or, whatever it might be. Can y'all talk a little bit as we close out, just that prayer element as it relates to, because you both have tremendous. So many opportunities. How do you know which is where God is leading,
Well, it's just a matter of putting it before the Lord, because you've got to discern between what's good and what's best. We get a lot of great opportunities, but we want to know what is best. And so we'll put those things down and just, there are times when I just don't know, so I have to ask. And
right.
I ask people to join me in that prayer.
And you ask the family to pray, though.
Yeah, the whole family will pray. We did that about Turkey.
Yeah.
All right, we're out of time. Merry Christmas, folks. Harold, thank you for joining us. Luana, thank you for joining me as well. And thank you for joining us. Until next time, I leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul, who says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.